Well, this isn't a warm, fuzzy Jesus we get this Sunday. Again, we're confronted with some of Jesus' most challenging and even shocking words, as we've been hearing in recent weeks. We heard him say one recent Sunday, "I've come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." Household divided. Last Sunday, "Enter through the narrow gate." And then today, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." So we might ask, could Jesus really mean that? And while we understand this, is Jesus is using what would have been a common rabbinic or Semitic rhetorical device, a teaching technique here, a kind of hyperbole, he's doing that to make a point that cannot be ignored. So is there truth here to what Jesus is saying? Yes. Does he mean what he's saying? Yes. There's a challenge here and a promise. A promise and an invitation to something more. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is always true, by the way, all the time with Jesus. When he asks us to give up something, he always promises us more in return. It's important, too, that we see at the beginning of this gospel, it reads that at this time, great crowds were traveling with Jesus. Great crowds. So it's not as though Jesus is telling this, you know, giving these hard teachings here to a small, kind of limited group. No, quite the opposite. He wants everyone to hear this. So this is important for us to know. This is not something that we should take lightly. And the point is, Jesus is calling us to a radical discipleship. To a radical discipleship. He's making a very clear, stark point here that following him must come before everything else, even the best things in our lives. So what does he do to drive this home? He's targeting the things we treasure the most. Our relationships, spouse, children, parents, siblings, and our own lives, our very own lives, our comfort, our sense of personal fulfillment, a sense of security we get from our possessions or a self-sufficiency. In other words, Jesus is going after our idols. He's challenging here both kind of this ancient Eastern world idol of family, which is still very, it's common today in the East, and which would have resonated very much with Jesus' listeners here, which was very important for folks in the time of Jesus. You know, family was everything. Family was life. Family was survival. And that's why we see in another place in the gospel when Jesus is approached by the man who wishes to follow him, but he asks, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." And what does our Lord say to him? "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their dead." Okay. And the Western world's idol for us, maybe in the modern world and in the West, this idol of personal fulfillment, our sense of comfort and self-sufficiency, our lives. And that's what our Lord is going after. So Jesus goes right to the thing that we might hold up as the ultimate thing, the thing of ultimate value. And Jesus is clear. We must be willing to count the cost. We must be willing to count the cost. So we need to be willing to detach, at least spiritually, at the level of the heart, from whatever has possession of us. So he gives us these two illustrations. First, a man building a tower who doesn't first calculate the cost. You know, you need to vet a project. You need to look into whether you have what it takes and you're willing to do what it takes to get the job done. And then a king going to war without assessing whether he can win. You know, we think of like our military. When we send people overseas, they're trained. They have a way of thinking. They're well prepared. They're because when they're on the battlefield, right, it's all or nothing. They're completely focused, and that's the way it is with us. That's the way it needs to be with us, and that's what our Lord is telling us. Jesus is saying, "Don't follow me casually. Don't follow me casually. Discipleship isn't a hobby. It's a total surrender. It costs something. It costs everything." There's no such thing as a lukewarm disciple. You know, in the book of Revelation, it speaks about this very clearly. As you may be familiar, at the very beginning of Revelation, where Jesus is addressing in these seven letters, the seven different churches in Asia Minor. And in the last letter to the church in Laodicea, he writes, "Would that you were either hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out." I will spit you out. That Jesus doesn't want just half-hearted followers. He wants people all in. All in. He wants people in love with him. And when we become a disciple of Christ, we enter into a loving relationship with him. And that really is at the heart of Jesus' words today. And we can't mistake rules for relationship. Our Lord's insistence about the precedence that this love has over everything in our lives. It shows us that his love is deeper than any bond, anyone, or anything else in the world could ever have. That he wants to give us a love that exceeds even the highest human love we could ever imagine. We have this morning the beginning of our OCAA program for folks wishing to explore becoming Catholic or receiving maybe completion of their sacraments. And I think this is especially true sometimes for those journeying through OCAA or converting to the Catholic faith. And maybe some of you who are present here today are those who have been in the past. You know, many times there are those making that journey of conversion, going deeper in their faith, trying to be more faithful to Christ. And eventually that may lead you to a place where you might find yourself saying, you know, I love you, Lord, but I need to follow Christ more faithfully. And that's hard, right? Especially maybe in a marriage, right? If you're telling your spouse, I love you, but I need to follow Christ. I need to follow him in his church. Especially, you know, when a spouse isn't on board or maybe not quite as ready yet, or a parent or child. And there can be confusion sometimes, especially like with a married couple where maybe one spouse is already, you know, further along in terms of wanting to enter into the church, to explore this, and the other spouse isn't. And for that spouse who isn't there yet, you know, it can look like when they look at that other spouse, it can look like, what happened? Like, who did you become? And yet Christ has to be the one who comes first. Before we're seeking the approval of family, however good our families are, we can't make them the ultimate thing. And that's hard. That's real. And that's the cross. That Christ has to be the one who comes first, even in relationships and marriages, even all our relationships, as good as they are, we can't make them an ultimate thing. Because then we make them an idol, however good personal fulfillment might be. If we make them an ultimate thing, it's an idol. And Christ has to be the ultimate person in our life. But here's the paradox. By putting Christ first, we will actually be loving others more. You know, what's really interesting is that if you really want to love mom and dad, husband, wife, brother, sister, you need to be totally committed to Jesus. And the way you actually love your mom and dad and spouse is by putting Jesus first. That Jesus isn't trying to tear apart families or destroy or devalue any of these relationships. In fact, what ends up happening is by putting Christ first, you actually become a better spouse, a better parent, a better child. And it's not like, you know, if we think about, you know, in the case of OCIA or folks, you know, wishing to explore becoming Catholic, if it weren't the case that spouse is becoming a better person, a better Christian, well, that's going to poison the idea of becoming Catholicism for the other spouse who maybe isn't ready yet, isn't there, right? So it has to be this way. And Christ promises us that. You know, I often remind spouses, especially spouses, you know, when you have young children still and you're raising your family, that your spouse, after our relationship with the Lord, of course, but our spousal relationship needs to be number one. Our spousal relationship needs to be number one. Our children can become attachments in a way. We try to satisfy something in us by making sure they have everything, even all our attention. But our spouse should possess more of us, because that will actually enable you to love your children more. And they will notice. Your children will notice when you're putting your spouse first. You'll be loving your children more. Putting Christ at the center of, doesn't mean he expects our families are going to sort of crumble around us, but rather you have him as the center around which the rest of your life operates. That's our parish mission, incidentally, of course, is to bring Jesus to the center of the life of each family. But he has to be that center, that immovable center. And that's really what we're hearing in our gospel this Sunday, brothers and sisters. Again, that he's using this kind of Semitic language where it even has this, yes, extreme sound. But it's meant to push against us and to get us to see that he has to be the center, the one who is the ultimate authority in our lives. And it can't be either that sort of, again, that ancient world idol, and even for us today, that idol of family and relationships, nor can it be maybe the more modern idol of our own life, our own personal fulfillment. You know, he says, no, all of those things have to be second to obedience to me. The Greek we actually have here, when we hear that word hate in our gospel and our Lord Jesus telling us to hate these other things, right? The Greek is miseo. And sometimes it's helpful to look at the original Greek and see what the meaning is. So the meaning of that word is, well, it's actually hate, just like we think it is. It's hate. There's no ambiguity here. And that's really important. Like our Lord is saying, you must hate all these other things, all these people, in the measure that they have become for you attachments. In the measure that they have become for you attachments, you must hate them. In the measure that you think they are things that you are going to fill your ego up with in order to satisfy it, in the measure that they function that way, you must hate them. When Christ is the immovable center, everything else in our lives, brothers and sisters, our marriage, our parenting, our friendships, everything else aligns properly. I've seen this countless times. You know, again, reflecting on the journey of OCIA and becoming Catholic, especially, you know, maybe one spouse who's further along and wants to do that, and maybe another spouse who isn't quite there, but they see that other spouse becoming Catholic, begins to pray more, you know, take their faith seriously, you know, going to confession, and that other spouse will eventually observe, you're a better person. You're more patient. You're more loving. You're more peaceful. I've seen this in my former parish with OCAA where, you know, at first, like, one spouse who's not there yet will look upon their other spouse with, you know, yes, almost a hatred towards them. Like, it's very difficult. But I've seen this over time where they realize, you're different, and I like it. You're better. And over time, brothers and sisters, faithfulness does bear fruit. Faithfulness does bear fruit. Discipleship must be all in. So Jesus says, hate family. Not because he means actually hate them, like we would in our modern kind of English parlance, right? He isn't saying we go home today and we tell our family, you know, I'm a disciple of Christ, I hate you. No. He's saying, love me more. Put me first. When we put him first, all our other loves, our relationships, are purified and ordered rightly. Discipleship is not about being perfect. It's about being committed. It's about being committed, all in, holding nothing back, counting the cost. So here's an invitation, brothers and sisters. You know, maybe you're thinking, I've been lukewarm. You know, I am holding back. Good, not good that you're doing that, but good that we recognize that. And good because we know Christ is waiting. Christ is waiting. Don't be discouraged. Start today. Make Christ that immovable center. Go to confession. Go to confession, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 20 years, a lifetime. Go to confession. You don't have to go to me. If you want to go out of town, we're so blessed to have so many great holy priests surrounding us. Go and tell the Lord, you know, I put other things before you, Lord. I put other things before you. I want you to be first. Our gospel is challenging this Sunday. But this is a reality check for all of us, I think, as we reset this weekend. And I think this comes at a good time. I think we need this as we come to the unofficial end of summer with kids back to school, kind of back to more of a normal routine. It's a good resetting time. It's a good resetting time. And that's why I also want to invite you, brothers and sisters, to really consider joining us this year for Rescue Project. Just discovering God's great love for you and his plan and making him your ultimate priority, your ultimate love. And something like the Rescue Project can really help. I know from a number of testimonies from folks who've been through, who maybe were blown away and not expecting this to happen. So there's an invitation. This gospel this Sunday gives us this invitation. An invitation to a deeper freedom, an invitation to live and love more fully, an invitation to reorder our lives around the only one worthy of being at the center, Jesus Christ. But when Christ is first, everything else falls into place. So let us count the cost and make him first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.